When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
For those that are watching, I promise we're really not messing with you. This is yet again another week in which we are wearing the exact same color hoodie. For a second there, I thought you were actually just wearing the hoodie that I'm wearing, but I promise this is not planned. But maybe we should just start planning this for the future. So
I think actually going forward, we will need to coordinate this because this can't continue any longer. People don't believe us, Dan.
I don't care because it's funny to me. And I think that we should just let it ride and see how many weeks we can be on the same
wavelength. We're just that in sync with each other that even across the entire Atlantic Ocean, we just know what color each other is going to wear every single recording.
I think the problem is me and you are kind of just stuck on like one to two different colors.
Yeah.
And our entire wardrobe
it's
just kind of depends
wardrobe,
on
it. Dan. It's efficient.
This episode is going to be focused on what we had and went through the entire year when it comes to Apple products, releases, everything. And then next week we'll probably look ahead, although don't quote us on that. But then that's the last episode and we will be taking a break until like mid-January. So just want to give everybody a little heads up there. Those are the plans. All right. So this was a pretty big year, whether or not people choose to believe it. And I feel like people don't think it's a big year because like one of the biggest products that came out wasn't really intended for everyone. And so I think
and
that
also,
that's
it was
probably...
announced last year. So people had already
thought about
it a lot by the time it emerged in February. And this is, of course, Apple Vision Pro.
Yes. So, I mean, that's a huge... I mean, anytime there's a new, completely new product, like, space that the company is diving into, that's a huge, like, year already. And so I know that people might not be thinking about it like that, but it really was. And so, in February... We didn't get anything in January. Let's just make sure before we go on. Nothing of substance that came out in January, correct? Okay. That was CES. Now we're fast forwarding to February. I was panicking on whether or not this was going to interfere with my trip. It did not. And I was able to bring to you lots of content on the Vision Pro. And it feels like an eternity. Like it feels like forever ago. So we got new Vision Pro. And I have had it since February. Hartley, you've been using it briefly on and off since it was available to you. You've tried it when we were all together in May. Let's start with your opinions and how you think the product is going so far. And I know we've talked about this a lot, so we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on it, but it is the biggest new product of 2024. How are you feeling on Vision Pro this year? I already know how this is going to go, but I need to ask you.
Well, as you know, I returned my unit because I found it quite disappointing, mainly in terms of comfort and actual just utility for doing productive day-to-day things. I was incredibly impressed by spatial video, spatialized photos as well, most recently in Vision OS 2. But to me, it wasn't quite there. And I know it's early days for the product line. And what I will say is that there is now far more content available for it than when it launched in February. And I also think... with the minor refinements in Vision OS 2 It undoubtedly has got better. There's now far more immersive content. The gestures are better. The fact that the keyboard is visible in environments. And of course, the new Mac display mode as well. So while I perhaps I'm not willing to spend my own money on it at this point, because it just isn't, it isn't there. It isn't good enough at this stage. I'm not completely down on the whole product. I'm just a little bit bemused by why it was launched in February and the state it was, and not delayed even until, I don't know, the third or fourth quarter of this year, when I feel like there would have been far more content available for it and it would have been in a much better place.
So, I mean, that was kind of the biggest thing with Vision Pro, is that I always said, this is obviously always going to get better and better, right? It's just, how much better is it going to get? How drastic is it going to be? How quickly is it going to get better? And obviously, we're starting to see some breadcrumbs there of what you just outlined. But I have been able to sway some people recently on those who have been on the fence about whether or not they should get it. And then they saw my video on the recent update with the Mac display. And I think that really sold people, just to kind of use it as a, you know, fun device for part of it. And then when they really want to get work done, they're using it in conjunction with their Macs. I think that's kind of the biggest thing right now with Vision Pro, is that it's just not quite there yet to do full work without another device in some way. But everything else, it's fantastic at, in terms of using it as an entertainment device. Gaming's getting better. I don't know if it's getting better. I can't speak to that particularly, but there are more games being made and there are more games available, is what I mean by that.
It's, as a device, I think maybe what it is it was just launched too early relative to the amount of content that was available for it. And while the situation is better, and there are more apps available for this device by the week, there is more immersive content by the month. It just maybe hasn't been quite enough to really sort of galvanize support behind this device. And I think that it will be interesting when, by the time we get to Vision OS 3 next year, to kind of reassess the product. And maybe around that time, I will pick it up again a year later and see how I feel. I think it's only fair to really give it another chance.
I agree. I've been using it a lot more lately, honestly. There was a good stretch where I didn't even pick it up, but I've been using it a lot more lately. Part of that was inspired by, I got to make some content around some of the new stuff. But then I really enjoyed a lot of the, it's like refreshing when you pick it back up and you see all of the new changes and content that's been put out there for it. And then I've started kind of getting hooked on watching more stuff on it and then using it as a... honestly, an excellent way to, I use it at home because I don't have a lot of the stuff that I have here at home when I'm working. So I'll bring it with me and I can sit on the couch, have my MacBook on my lap, and then have full displays in front of me in that new ultra wide or wide angle, 5K now. It's a really good, I'm still not ready to use it on a plane, but it's really good for like traveling around, to different locations where you feel comfortable using it and you can be isolated from others. But you need some of that extra, power for display and just kind of more of that productivity for whatever it is that you're doing. And so, I'm not ready to dub it a win or a loss yet. Like we said, it was just a little too early. But I'm glad that it happened this year because it kind of spiced up the year and it's a nice way to kick it off.
I mean, we've certainly spent an enormous amount of time this year talking about it.
Hey, guys, just want to take a quick break to let you know that this episode of the Mac Rumor Show is sponsored by Mando. It's official. The holidays are right around the corner. And if you're struggling to get your family, friends, or significant others a gift this holiday season, perhaps give them the gift of Mando. I mean, it's probably going to be a little awkward when you do because they're thinking that you think they smell, in which case they probably do, and this will be a really good gift to help with those nasty odors. I love the Deo stick for the pits and the deodorant wipes for everywhere else while on the go and traveling. And if you're wondering what in the world is Mando, Mando was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It works for 72 hours straight, no matter what you're doing, whether it is holiday shopping or working overtime or sitting through a marathon of family dinners. It also comes in awesome scents like Bourbon Leather, Mount Fuji, Pro Sport, and Cloverwoods. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers or to secure some last-minute stocking stuffers. It comes with a solid-stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. Luckily, I have a discount code to help you get hooked on my favorite-smelling whole-body deodorant on the market. New customers will get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack. Use code MAC, that's MAC, at shopmando.com. shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And don't forget to use our code at checkout. That's MAC, MAC. And don't let the meat sweats get you this holiday season, because your family and friends will thank you. Which is why I'm going to move on to what came in next, which was in March. We got new 13 and 15-inch models of the MacBook Air powered by the M3 chip. Not nearly as exciting as a brand new product like the Vision Pro, but probably more exciting to the average user who was looking to update their laptops. Now you have a better option available. I still very much love the MacBook Air as a really good travel laptop. It can take care of a lot of things. I just had a conversation yesterday. Somebody asked me what kind of laptop they should get. What are you doing with it? They're like, dude, we just want stuff that can, you know, go on the web, watch a couple of videos if we need to, pay some bills, just a generic family computer, but we don't need anything crazy. And they're not storing anything. They're like, maybe we'll have a couple of Word docs or Google docs, things that can be stored in the cloud. And I'm like, all right, well, then you, sir, can absolutely get away with a base model MacBook Air if you want to and be totally fine. And so, you know, you just kind of have to know your audience when you're suggesting these things. But like, I still think it's the best computer for everyone. It's not the one that I would probably get in terms of like what's the lowest configuration machine, like non-pro style machine that I could get away with. I think it's probably the one that I would use. But like, even though it's a MacBook Pro, I think the 14-inch base model M4, which we'll talk about a little bit later, remind me that I have some thoughts on. But I think that might be the new winner for me personally. But for everyone else out there, if you don't need a lot of ports, that's the biggest thing. Like, I can recommend it to anyone, but it's the port situation that becomes a problem for a lot of others if you are going to need to plug into a lot of things. But if you don't, it's an excellent computer. How are your did you ever end up using it at all, or no?
No, I've actually, the MacBook Air is the only Mac product line I think I've not owned.
Really?
Over the years, I've had every other product line, but the reason for that is just always if I've been looking for a laptop, always gone for a MacBook Pro instead. But what I will say about this year's MacBook Air refresh is it just goes to show that Apple is so in the rhythm of Apple Silicon now, and it is good that it can just push out these updates. It doesn't need to be anything big. It doesn't need to be anything particularly exciting, but it just means that anyone who is picking up that device has the latest possible chip.
Yeah. We should do like a rating. Do you want to do a rating for the year? Like out of 10, or do you want to do for each product release?
It's difficult though, because what more could I really want from a MacBook Air? I mean, ostensibly, that refresh this year was a pretty much a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 refresh.
Sure.
Because even though it was tiny,
just
because it's the best really that we could hope for at this time.
It's 10 out of 10 product, 5 out of 10 excitement level.
I agree with that.
Very mid excitement level. And that can change for most people. Vision Pro, 10 out of 10 excitement level, 7 out of 10 for me in terms of the product.
That's generous.
It could be 4, anywhere from 4 to 7, depending on what you're doing.
I would say 4, but that was just based on my experience earlier in the year. And I am hopeful that it will get better.
I'm still 10 out of 10 excited for it, by the way, and just what it can do. All right, I like this. We should do this for everything. Real quick, though, because I don't want to move on too fast from the MacBook Air, because I feel like that is a good computer for you. I don't want anyone to take this the wrong way when I say this, but like, you're writing articles. So I think it's between us. Like, we know that you don't need a crazy configuration. That's not saying you don't need improvements. Like, I'm not recommending the base model for you. I wouldn't do that, especially with how, you know, power hungry Chrome tabs or Safari tabs could be. Like, you definitely need some good RAM and stuff, but like, I feel like if you beefed up a MacBook Air, could you not get away with that? Especially when you're traveling.
I could absolutely get away with it. And in a lot of respects, I would prefer it. I've been very tempted in particular by the 15-inch MacBook Air because I find the 14-inch just a little bit too small, but the 16-inch is too big. But I really like the mini LED display of the MacBook Pro.
That's what I was going to get at. That's what I was getting at. Like, what is the reasons why?
It's things like that. It's the ProMotion.
The ports.
And occasionally I do manage to get... The ports aren't a big deal for me, actually, because I mainly connect on my desk to a Thunderbolt hub. So that isn't a big deal, but I personally really like the display. And also I do find that occasionally the MacBook Pro that I have, which is the M1 Pro model, the fans do kick up on that. So
what are you doing?
I do wonder.
You mining for Bitcoin over there?
Nothing crazy. I part of me wonders if it's just that the M1 family now. At its very earliest stage of just slowing down that little bit based on current software.
I think I'm definitely like, and I feel like I'm gonna put other people in this group because I don't want it to just be me and make it feel like, you know, I'm not reliable when it comes to being a product reviewer, but like, not a lot of people, maybe MKBHD, where if he's being truthful, has said like he's used an M1 Max MacBook Pro for a really long time because he hasn't seen the need to upgrade. And I get that, but he also doesn't really, I don't think, edits as much as he used to. And so when he is doing occasional editing, it's like, it's totally fine. And I would agree with that. But like others who are reviewing constantly and getting new products every year, we're not going back to the M1s, the M2s, and the M3s, because we got a new model that just came out. So we're using that. So like, to me, over the years, it's never really, performance hasn't ever gotten bad for me because I've always been on another thing. So we have to keep that in mind, that like, that's something that I just have to understand, like, oh, wait, why are the fans kicking off for you? I've never had that problem. Oh, maybe it's because I used it for a year. And now that stuff has progressed so much to where it might be relying heavily on needing more, you know, CPU or GPU or RAM or whatever power it might need, that it can't handle it anymore. With Apple Intelligence, like, how much better is it from a M1 to an M4? Like, that would be a good study to do. I don't know how to stress test that at all, but you know, like, do fans kick on for things like that? That would be intriguing. Somebody needs to do that. I'm not going to volunteer myself for it, though, because there's just too much going on. But keep that in the back of your mind when people say things like what I've been guilty of saying in the past, where it's like, I've never heard the fans kick on. Well, maybe not for the first year, but if I used it for 3 or 4 years straight, there's probably a time. Although, I've been using the M2 Mac Studio for how long has that been out for? 2 years? 3 years?
Yeah.
I obviously don't hear fans on that ever, but it's possible. I've never heard it on a MacBook, but that's because I don't use it as much as my daily machine. It's for travel, not putting a whole lot on it as much as I would want to. So, all right, let's move on. We got the iPad, right? Was that next in May?
Yeah, so May was a big month for the iPad.
Yeah.
We had the refresh to the iPad Air, which introduced the 13-inch model for the first time, and it also upgraded it to the M2 chip. A lot of different devices with different chips this year. We had new M3 devices, new M2 devices, and new M4 devices. So that's because it's been a little bit difficult to keep track of. Also, Apple Pencil Pro support on that, and the introduction of the Apple Pencil Pro, and moving the camera to the landscape orientation, which I think was a long overdue upgrade.
Okay. Here's my hot take of the year. Best product, in my opinion, not best product, best iPad, was the M2 12.9-inch iPad Air. I think it's just great.
Interesting.
Because it's significantly cheaper than what it's basically based off of, which was the older iPad Pros. Yeah, the display is not as good, but that is it. That's legitimately it. And to me, power is fine. It's the size, I don't know why, but I use it at home all the time, and I think it's a fantastic iPad. I go from using an M4 iPad Pro, where the display is significantly better in my opinion, but that's not as noticeable to me as like going from a MacBook Pro to a MacBook Air, you know? Like, it just doesn't have the same effect on my brain of like, oh, this is not as good. This feels like an inferior product. And the whole point of this entire product is the display, because it's all that it is it just a giant, you know, screen. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I really like it. I've been able to, I don't miss other iPads when I use it. That's basically the moral of that story. How do you feel about that?
I can see why you think that. I think it definitely presents a really important option. Very similar to the MacBook Air with the 15-inch model. There are always those people that just need a little bit more display size, but they don't necessarily need more quote-unquote pro specs along with that. I don't know if I'd say it was the best device of the year. I actually...
No, not device, iPad. I changed my mind.
Oh, okay. The best iPad of the year, I would say, obviously, is the iPad Pro.
I'm thinking of like every, like I'm thinking of like, this is the one to recommend to buy to everyone.
I don't know if I would agree with that, because okay. I still think the iPad 10 rather, is such a good.
Oh, dude. $279. Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
That actually is the one that I would encourage most people to buy. But also the reason why I would lean on the iPad Pro this year is because I think the iPad Pro is genuinely very impressive. I know that the software, there's still questions around really what this device should be. But I love my new iPad Pro. I use it way more on account of the thinner design. And it really does feel a lot more like cutting edge technology. It felt like a really worthwhile redesign with that OLED display, with the new keyboard as well. It's significantly nicer to use. You've got the function row on there, backlighting. And even just the admission that Apple made in removing the ultra wide camera, I quite like that in a way. I never used it, but it felt like it felt like they were seriously looking at this device from the ground up of what should an iPad Pro even be. Enjoyed that.
I'm not going to give Apple any praise for removing something.
No,
someone out there is pissed about this, and I'm going to stick up for that man or female or whatever. But I also can agree with probably a majority of the people and you in which it doesn't matter. Like, hey, thanks for admitting that you don't need this. But like, at least they were able to beef up the other camera to make it to where you might not miss it as much.
Yes. And you've got that new adaptive True Tone flash as well. So it's even better at document scanning, which I feel like Apple kind of, although the software maybe is not where we want it to be, but I'm at a point now with iPadOS where I don't even really know where I want it to be. I've just accepted the iPad for what it is. So when I really want to dive into my Apple Music library, I use my iPad. If I want to read Apple News, I use my iPad. If I ever want to have a device for when I'm traveling, it is the device that I reach for. And I have been really happy with it just for those things.
Okay. So now I need to go back, because, you know, sometimes you say things and you don't like, that's what the whole point of a podcast is. You say things and some of it, you don't always, it's just off the cuff. You don't plan what you were going to say. So I need to pull back. I'm not walking back what I said. I'm walking back on how I wanted to phrase it. Yes, the iPad Pro is the better iPad. We all know this. But the iPad Air, both sizes, I'm just going to say the 11 and the 13-inch size, or 12.9, whatever they're marketing it as, is the one that everyone should get, in my opinion, if you're someone who wants to use their iPad for like what all the things that you just said and a little more. If you're going to be using a keyboard with it, like while I do think the 10th generation iPad is a fantastic deal, and that if you're just somebody who's like, I need a tablet for my kids, I need a tablet for watching stuff and reading, then cool. Yeah, get that. It's $279 right now, by the way. Go ahead and buy that. That's and a steal. But if you're going to be using this for real work and just when you travel, maybe you're not bringing your laptop because you've got the Magic Keyboard. While I do agree that the Magic Keyboard that just got made for the new iPad Pro is fantastic and way better than the other one, it's still not enough. None of those are enough for me to where I'm like, ah, damn, I really wish I brought my iPad Pro. I'm just in my mind, I'm like, no, this is totally fine. I can get away with it. With that said, literally just traveled yesterday and was using my 11-inch iPad Pro with the new keyboard. It's fantastic. Nano texture, by the way, was also new this year. I love it on almost everything, by the way. It's almost on everything, right? It's on the iMac. It's on the MacBook Pro. It's on the iPad. It's on the studio display. What am I missing?
Pro Display XDR.
Pro, well, okay, yeah. The only, it's not on your phone, and it's not on, that's it.
Low-end
what else
products.
Is there? Yeah, yeah. So I think it's amazing on just about everything, but I don't know how I feel about the iMac, which is the computer that I'm using to do this podcast. So I don't know that I love it on bigger displays.
The device that would be interesting with it is the Apple Watch, because, of course, you use it in direct sunlight an awful lot.
Interesting. Is that too small for them to even remotely care about that?
I don't know. Maybe Apple Watch Ultra eventually.
Maybe. That would be cool. I would like to see that. So yeah, iPad Pro was fantastic. There was controversy. Do you even remember the controversy during that?
Was it the ad?
Yeah. That's how much we just move on as a society. That was such a big deal for 24 hours. And I still to this day could not understand how people didn't understand the ad and what Apple was trying to say. I thought it was pretty clear. But hey, you know, everybody interprets things differently. So obviously it's a really good product and it can do so much like the ad suggests. But no, we're not saying that you need to get rid of all of the things that Apple put in one of those machines that crushes everything, which was very visually pleasing to watch, by the way.
I agree.
All right, so iPad Air, iPad Pro. Excitement level? And your excitement level should be low because it wasn't very high, right?
I don't know. I was more excited by the iPad Pro than I thought I would be, I think.
No, but excitement level was like before you used it. Like when you heard the announcement, how excited were you about it?
I don't remember, Dad.
I want to say you were pretty mid. You just didn't care. You didn't even buy it. You didn't buy it until just recently, right?
No, I bought it. No, I bought it a while ago.
You got it at launch? I thought for sure this would be a great time for me to remember to insert when editing old episode.
I definitely brought my iPad when I was traveling earlier this year. So I definitely had it in like July.
Yeah, when it came out in May.
Maybe June or July. I don't know.
All right. I could be wrong. I feel like your early impressions, and not to say that you're like a curmudgeon or anything, but usually
I had it for WWDC, okay? I had it for WWDC, definitely.
Okay. All right. So maybe it was a different product that I was thinking of. So what's your excitement level and your product level now out of 10?
I would say excitement for the iPad Pro, maybe 8 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
And I think also it's a very solid product at this point. It's probably 8 or 9 out of 10. iPad okay. Air, I'm not excited by it at all. That's just me. Maybe, I don't know, 3 out of 10. And in terms of how much of a solid product it is, maybe about 7 out of 10.
Okay, so my iPad Air excitement level is like a 1 out of 10. I could not care less about it. But actually using it, 10 out of 10. It's a 10 out of 10 product by far. It works for everything that I need an iPad for. I don't need an iPad Pro when they offer a size like that. I think it's totally fine. We didn't talk about Apple Pencil Pro. We can in a minute. iPad Pro. I was excited for it, like 9 out of 10. Product-wise, probably 8 out of 10 for me. I still think it's really good, but just kind of generally speaking. iPad or the Apple Pencil Pro, my excitement level was a 2 out of 10. Product using it, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. It's good. It's always really good at what it does. I just don't use an Apple Pencil enough, so don't take that as like a knock on it.
I find it really hard to rate this one, but what I will say is that I think considering that the Apple Pencil 2, which this effectively replaces, had been around for how long? That came out in 2018, so 6 years at this point. I think this was a really worthwhile update.
Sure.
And introduced a lot of features with that haptic feedback and with the additional gestures that device supports. I think it was worth it.
How often do you use your Apple Pencil Pro, realistically?
I don't own one, Dan.
Exactly. So then I don't even want to hear you talking down to me about the Apple Pencil Pro. I don't even want to hear it.
I will get one eventually because it's good for like signing documents. Digital
just use
documents.
Your finger. Just use your finger.
Yeah, but it doesn't make as good of a signature.
I guess. That's $150 for you to sign a document once a year.
I'll pick it up like next year on Black Friday or something.
Listen, every time I pick up the Apple Pencil, in my mind, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've just become a designer, or I'm going to start writing notes. And then I put it back and I never see it again. So it's weird how these like products have that effect on you at times. Now, for those of you who are screaming in your car or at home or wherever, and you're like, I love the Apple Pencil, I use it all the time. I know there are so many of you out there, and that is wonderful. And I hope that you really do think it's a great update, because it's not made for me.
I think it's a great update.
I do too, but it's just I don't use it. And when I do use it, any of the new features do not exist in my everyday like use of it. So I hope for those that they made it for, you actual people who are drawing and being creative with the Apple Pencil, that you love it. So I would love to hear from everyone in the comments, or hit us up or whatever. Let us know what you think about it. This episode of the Mac Rumor Show is also sponsored by SelectQuote. There are so many things in life that we just never get around to. Taking up that hobby, cleaning out the garage, you know, little things that don't really make huge differences in our lives. Yet there's one thing that most of us have probably been neglecting that can have a huge impact on your family's future. It's life insurance. And with SelectQuote, getting covered with the right policy for you is easier and more affordable than you may think. SelectQuote is one of America's leading insurance brokers with nearly 40 years of experience, helping over 2 million customers find over $700 billion in coverage since 1985. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less. And if you've ever had to worry about getting coverage with pre-existing health condition, well, you don't have to worry about that with SelectQuote, because SelectQuote partners with carriers that provide policies for a variety of health conditions. If you have high blood pressure, no problem. Diabetes, that's fine too. Even if you have heart disease, SelectQuote partners with carriers that can cover those conditions and many others. Or if you don't have any major health conditions, they work with carriers that can get you same-day coverage with no medical exam required. So head on over to SelectQuote.com, and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. So go get the life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/MacRumors. Go to SelectQuote.com/MacRumors today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/MacRumors. Thanks, SelectQuote, for sponsoring this episode. This episode of the Mac Rumor Show is also sponsored by SelectQuote. So yeah, I think it's fantastic. Let's move on to what was next.
June.
Oh, WWDC. So this was all the AI stuff. And this is actually pretty relevant, because we just got a lot of the rest of iOS 18.2 just came out yesterday. So when you are listening to this, it's been out for just a few days now. Go update if you haven't. But this gives you all of the remaining features, aside from a few still that we're waiting on, most specifically with Siri. But the ones that were showed off at WWDC, Genmoji, Image Wand, Image Playground, the summary for notifications, for all notifications, smart replies, all of that stuff is now officially available, and with all the other features that we got in 18.1. I guess this is the Apple Intelligence portion. How are you feeling with Apple Intelligence as a whole since it was announced in June to now?
I had pretty high hopes for it, I think, when it was announced. I thought some of the ways in which things were being presented were a little bit peculiar, but I was hopeful. I think it's fair to say that when it first came out, I found it quite underwhelming, but that's because writing tools do nothing for me. The notification summaries are pretty good, actually. I don't know if I'd want to go back, but yeah, it didn't change my world overnight. Obviously, just the new Siri UI is good. But for example, I think it's worse using Apple CarPlay, and it kind of annoys me actually now. So it was a little bit of a mix. I don't know. I just feel like it's slower, and the tone is lower.
Oh, Siri?
And it's kind of weird. Yeah, the way that it illuminates the display in a vehicle is not fantastic. That is all. It was fine. Gradually, it has got more interesting. I will actually confess that despite absolutely destroying Genmoji over a couple
you're
of episodes.
You're a Genmoji fan, aren't you?
I have
you're
been using Genmoji quite a
God.
Bit.
I was going to say something that we don't usually say on the show, so I'll remove that. I don't want to have to edit myself out. I knew it. I knew it.
Yeah.
And I told you.
Were you. Right. You were
I
right.
told you. So now that, and you're, you know, much more youthful than me. So I feel like the people in that age group, which you're a part of, are going to take off with it. It's just been a few days that now that the everyday person has it. So I am very curious to see where this goes. But I've had multiple people that have texted me literally right before this show. Someone texted me and said, I just updated. How do I get to Genmoji? That's all I care about. That was the first. And this person's my age. So just saying, I think people are going to really use it a lot. And I know people like didn't like Image Playground as much. Yeah, I just think that it's going to be the biggest thing right now that people are going to use. And they're not even going to realize that it's technically an AI feature. So it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter.
It's better than I thought it would be in terms of actually being something I want to use. The other feature that I think we have to mention is ChatGPT integration in Siri, which is good and has actually been useful to me on the few occasions it works. The only time when it's been annoying is when I ask something and I want it to go through ChatGPT and I think it will understand that without me actually asking it to ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. So I've had situations lately when I've asked Siri about nutritional information, and Siri will say, I found this on the web. And I'm thinking, well, if you're doing that, you just need to ask ChatGPT.
Can you ask Siri to ask ChatGPT? I've never done that.
Yes, you can, but even that doesn't seem to work particularly consistently.
Okay.
So it's a mixed bag. Other times when like I've asked information about... I was asking about the runtime of a couple of movies. So I was saying, what's the runtime of this movie and that movie, and what would they be together? And it did that using ChatGPT, and it was perfect, actually. So I've enjoyed that. But overall, we're not there yet with Apple Intelligence. The real test is whether we actually get this sort of personalized experience that Apple showed off in June. And that is as yet some time away.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I actually think writing tools is way more useful than you think it is. I just think that you have to kind of force yourself to use it for what you do on a regular basis, which is write. You write on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't find it useful.
Does it frustrate you because it's like cheating? It's like trying to make you a better writer. When you are a natural better writer?
I think it's a really good feature for a lot of people, but it's just, it's not something that I feel a need to use. But there's plenty of other Apple Intelligence features that I've enjoyed using. I mean, an underrated one, actually, I think is the new cleanup tool in Photos. I love it. I think it's a fantastic improvement over what was there before.
It has gotten weirdly better, hasn't it? Like, it started off and it was kind of a nightmare, but I feel like over time, maybe secretly, it's just getting updated. And I feel like it's recognizing, you know, what I want to remove and doing a better job at removing those objects. Am I going crazy, or is that for you the same thing?
I don't know if I would say it's got better, but it absolutely is significantly better than what was there before.
Well, we didn't really have anything before. What was there?
Well, there was a cleanup tool. There was a cleanup tool that I did occasionally use, but the way in which it now works is enormously different.
Yeah. I just think with writing tools and, you know, adding ChatGPT in there now. So with 18.2, you can use ChatGPT within writing tools. So you can have it like, you know, you wrote an article. Let's just say I decide tomorrow I'm going to start writing articles for the website instead of making videos. That would be a disaster from a, you know, grammatical standpoint on my end, because I'm just not a writer. I'm a decent storyteller because that's what I do for writing scripts, and I know how to like lay out, you know, how I want to do that. But it would be terrible, and you guys would be really upset having to edit my articles. So we don't do that. We don't let Dan near the website. That's not what Dan's domain is. But I think it's better for somebody like me who maybe has to do that in a pinch one day. I can have it clean up, make it a little bit more of a professional tone, but then I can be more specific with ChatGPT's help and write in like, hey, use this tone and turn it into a poem if I wanted to be weird. I don't know, man. But like, there's just so many things there. What I use it for now is like having it generate shot lists. So I write a script. I say, take what you've just read in the script and make a shot list based off of the B-roll that I would need for videos from MacRumors, because it knows what MacRumors is on YouTube because it can pull from that information. So it's, in theory, I don't know if it's, you know, how it's training itself, but it's like, okay, this is the type of shots you would usually use. Here are the B-roll shot lists. And then I can make that. And I know when I'm making a video that's a lot longer, I can get all the key points in there. And it happens in 30, not even, what, a couple of seconds? And it would take me, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so at least to run through everything and pull out from each, like, okay, I need a shot of this. And so I don't know, just like I'm trying to find it more useful in my everyday work. So have you experienced anything where it would be more useful? You already use ChatGPT, right?
Yeah, occasionally it can be useful for sort of formatting lists and things like that would be a manual task that would take me just a long time on my keyboard.
There you go. So start using writing tools, man. It's right there for you.
Can it do that?
Yes.
I mean, I'll have to try that then, but I didn't know it was capable of that.
I mean, yeah. At first, it was capable of formatting lists and stuff based off of the pre-existing options. But now you can use the way you would use ChatGPT, you can use it in that same way. Just enter it in the prompt.
Huh. Yeah, I can see that now. I'm looking at it. I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know. I think there's a lot more Apple Intelligence stuff generally that I need to dive into. I mean, even yesterday it emerged that it's not being called Apple Intelligence, but I suppose effectively it is, that the HomePod now can accept natural language music requests. You're never going to know that's there unless you actually look it up and consciously change the way that you talk to your HomePod. There's plenty of AI-based features like that.
I mean, the Apple Watch can do summary notifications, which is hilarious to me because, like, why couldn't everything do that then, you know? That really isn't... Well, although, I guess, is it... I don't really know. It is technically just mirroring your phone, so I guess it doesn't really need to, right? I don't know how that works, but I'm guessing that's what it's doing. Is it actually processing on device?
I think it might be.
Well, that's true, because if my phone isn't connected, but I'm connected to Wi-Fi, it would still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like kind of a lame thing there, Apple. Also, I often think about this. Do you think that if Apple didn't play into the AI stuff, right? Like Galaxy AI and Google AI or whatever they're calling it, and everyone started doing this, if Apple didn't say AI at all, like they used to say machine learning and all of the other buzzwords, but they didn't play into Apple Intelligence, but just came out with these features for 18.1 or 18 at WWDC and said, hey, this year we're dramatically improving iOS 18, and just had AI features but didn't lay into it, do you think that we would be easier on it? Because I feel like people are pretty harsh on the AI feature, saying that this isn't helpful, this isn't the future.
I think that people would be less harsh on it in some sense, but also then people would be critical of saying, well, where's Apple's AI tools? Yeah.
I agree. I think it would go both ways.
So I don't think Apple could win either way, really.
I think people would be like, this is an insane update. Look at all of these new features and changes, but where's Apple AI? And then Apple could be like, well, no, that is our AI stuff, but we just don't call it that because we're not falling into the... So I just think that's a good perspective. For those of you out there who are thinking like, oh, this update sucks, there's nothing different besides AI that I can't use on my phone. It's like, no, there's a ton of changes. There's a lot of new things in this feature. This is probably the biggest WWDC that they've had in a long time with a lot of, you know, dramatic, not to mention the home screen changes. We don't even talk about that anymore. Like, this is something that hasn't changed since the iPhone came out. And over the last couple of years, it is completely different than it's ever been before. And we're just excusing that because it's like, well, AI, we want to know more about the AI stuff. So that's my way of tying it back into WWDC. Is there anything else at WWDC that you want to go over? Because this was basically all of June.
I mean, there was so much across all of these updates. We've already briefly mentioned Mac display mirroring in Vision OS 2. But the only other feature I will flag, because I think it is excellent, is in Mac OS Sequoia, iPhone mirroring, and also specifically iPhone notification mirroring. Both work perfectly. They're both incredibly useful. I really
what we've wanted. It's like universal notifications is what we've wanted. The only thing is now I've become really upset about having that notification constantly happening on my Mac, but it's making me realize I have way too many notifications that I need to turn off. So it's a good thing. It just requires me to do a little bit more work there. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Is there anything that's like fallen under the radar? Like, we'll do excitement levels. I have no excitement level for. Oh, we'll do it as a whole. But like watchOS, I didn't really care about any of the new features that came out per se. I would say WWDC as a whole, I was very excited. So I'm giving it a 10 out of 10. Actual execution of the product so far, I'll give it an 8 out of 10. I really like the stuff that
I would agree with both of those scores, actually.
Yeah. I really like the stuff that we have. I'm using a lot of the new stuff quite a bit, or I'm trying to. I think we just have a little bit more ways to go. Like, there's way more room for improvement there. Which is good. I'll be excited for WWDC 2025. Okay. September, new iPhones. So this is starting to become a little bit more current here. New iPhones, new Apple Watch, and some of the AirPods updates. What do you think about the new iPhones this year?
I'm pretty down on the iPhone 16 lineup. Okay. I personally, of course, I did buy an iPhone 16 Pro, upgrading from an iPhone 15 Pro. And as I mentioned a couple of episodes ago, I still maintain that was a worthwhile upgrade, but only for one reason, which is battery life. Nothing else has been worth it for me. But for the average user who maybe is coming from a 13 Pro or a 14 Pro, it's a decent enough annual upgrade. You've got that ultra wide, now with a 48 megapixel camera. You've got the A18 Pro, which is a decent amount more powerful, actually. And if you're coming from a much older device that doesn't have Apple Intelligence, that will make a difference. Maybe most controversially, or most obviously looking at the devices physically, you've got the camera control on there, as well as larger displays and slimmer bezels, but that doesn't really functionally change anything. The camera control was probably the most significant thing, and I don't like the camera control. I think it is a pretty useless gimmick.
Excuse me? Camera control is amazing at one thing, opening the camera app.
I will give you that.
I can't live without it. Actually, that's not true, because then I would just go back to using the action button to launch the camera.
Or you could just swipe across on the lock screen.
No, never. Ew. I've never done that. I have no need. You want to know how I used to do it before we had any of these buttons? It wasn't swiping across. It was pushing the toggle in the bottom right.
Well, you have the choice of now.
You have eight different ways.
You could configure both of those home screen buttons for the camera. You could swipe across to get to the camera, use the camera control, and use the action button. So, you know, whichever you feel like in the moment.
There are more ways to do that than there are other functions that are probably more important.
Yeah.
It's just, you want to open a camera app, choose your poison. There's a million different ways to do it. Well, that's good. I don't have anything really to say on the iPhone 16. To me, it just feels like another iPhone 15 Pro.
It's a 15S, battery life is significant.
It's a significantly better in battery life. I will agree with you.
The bigger upgrade is for the standard models. I think the new camera array on the back definitely looks nicer. You've got spatial video capture. It definitely is feeling like a little bit more of a pro device. And considering that none of the previous versions had Apple Intelligence, the fact that it now does is a pretty noteworthy upgrade.
Yeah, I agree. I have one thing that I want to ask, and I don't know if this is a hardware or software thing, but I used to use low power mode quite a bit on my iPhone 15, 14. Whenever I was traveling, for some reason, I just think a combination of like all the apps that I have open, the maps, location, access, just using my phone a little bit more because I'm waiting to, you know, take off on a plane or whatever, my battery just gets drained quickly. So I found that low power mode helps. It's just cutting off a lot of the things that are running in the background that I maybe don't need. But I have used low power mode now on the iPhone 16 only when I have it set to turn on automatically so that my battery doesn't, you know, get drained up quickly, which is usually around like 20 or 30%. I have found it completely unusable. Like, my phone is horrible. Lagging like crazy. I can't type. I just it's not good. And I don't know if this is a hardware thing or if this is a software thing, because I've only experienced this with this new 16 Pro Max.
That is not my experience.
Okay, so then it must be something on my end that I just don't know why. But like, it's mostly just typing. Like, it's just so slow and delayed. And I actually honestly found that whenever my phone's getting kind of hot and it's like the performance is dipping a little bit. Have you not noticed that at all? Like, you're just typing and it's just so delayed. And
I mean, it's not super delayed, but low power mode will do things a little bit like that. So it will reduce it drops it down from 60 hertz, from 120 hertz to 60
right.
hertz.
And that's what I'm trying to get at.
It disables certain cores on the chip. So you're running a chip that is, it drops down to like a 2-core chip. And I think it's only the efficiency cores.
So that's what I'm trying to say is like, were the efficiency cores better on the other models compared to this? Because like,
I don't think so.
I don't think
that
so
must
either,
just be a software thing.
Is it just a me thing? Like, I'm not lying. I'm not making this up. But like, the only time I ever have performance like miscues and things that are not ideal is whenever I turn on low power mode. I'm like, this sucks. Like, I cannot use this phone anymore. I'm going crazy just for typing and stuff. Like, anything else is fine, but if I'm trying to type out a really long message, I'm making so many more errors because the phone and the keyboard can't keep up for some weird reason, and it's just falling behind too much. So if that's anyone else's experience, is the reason why I brought this up, I would like to hear from you. Otherwise, it's just me, and maybe I'll get a different phone or something. I don't know. We'll see. Apple Watch. I'm going to go ahead and say... Oh, wait. iPhone excitement level. I was not excited. I mean, I was 7 out of 10 for me.
I would agree. I was a 7 out of 10 excitement. And execution, I was actively quite disappointed. So I'd say maybe a 3 out of 10.
I'll say 5. I say it's mid.
I think the camera control is actually really quite bad.
I can't hate on it because it's just an easier, convenient way for me to open the camera app. And that's all I ever really wanted, which they could have just put in the power button, what like every other Android phone in the world, and I would have been so happy. But yeah. I don't know. I don't. I'm gonna go with 5 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
Apple Watch. Let's start with your rating and then go into why.
I was
do the Series 10. Do the Series 10. The Ultra is worthless. We don't need to go through that. It was not an upgrade.
6 out of 10 for excitement, and maybe a 7 out of 10 for execution because I really do like the new design. I know the bezels are thicker around the display. But I prefer the aspect ratio, and it is significantly thinner and lighter. I even quite like the switch to titanium from stainless steel. And while it's not more powerful, there's not any radical new health features on there, really, other than sleep apnea detection. But of course, that also comes to the Series 9 and the Apple Watch Ultra 2. I think it is a decent Apple Watch upgrade when you consider just how small Apple Watch upgrades have been in recent years.
I agree with you. I was like a 0 out of 10 for excitement levels for either one of them. I did not care. Like it did nothing for me. I'm like an 8 out of 10 for actual use on the Series 10. I thought it's really, really good. I think it looks fantastic. It's probably one of the nicest looking watches of what Apple has come out with so far. I really do think that. That bigger screen does help. The way it's not a major redesign, like you said, but I do think it's really, really good. And obviously the same for the Apple Watch Ultra 2. It didn't really get an update, but it did get a new color. 10 out of 10 for the new color. Absolutely love the new color. But
how do you feel about the watch band? The new Milanese Loop?
Don't like it.
Interestingly, I had a closer look at it in an Apple store. I think it was last weekend, and I actually didn't like it very much either. I thought it felt quite cheap because where the titanium is so light, it almost felt like plastic, and I know it isn't.
Yeah.
I just didn't love it.
I don't mind the like look and feel. I don't like the way you put it on. I think it's really hard to get like on and off, and that bothers me. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing else really caught my interest this year for Apple Watch. It's okay to say that it's got a bad, it wasn't a good year in terms of like excitement, but I do think that they executed quite well on the Series 10, in my opinion.
And I think that this design gives them the room to expand that display over time without actually changing the casing size or meaning that there are different bands required. They kept that smaller size around. They've carried forward band compatibility. And this next year, if we get maybe, I don't know, a large display and we get hypertension detection, we get a faster chip, and maybe a couple of other things. That actually is looking like a pretty good upgrade for someone maybe coming from a Series 8 or Series 9.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's just lump these last ones in together because this is a long episode for us who said we were going to start cutting down the length of episodes. iPad mini.
Decent upgrade. Nothing exciting. Overdue, yeah. Maybe.
Yes, I would say 10 out of 10 execution for the upgrades that we needed. Like, if you are an older iPad user, obviously, if you don't have the iPad mini from, what, the 6th, or if you have the 5th or 4th, what are you doing? Please upgrade. You'll be very happy, but, like, it's a good iPad. It's in line with everything else now in terms of capability and features. So, yeah, if you want that smaller size, I think you'll be happy, but excitement level, it is what it is. I use it a lot more. I think it's really good. Yeah, I do use it for travel a lot when I'm carrying like a lot more stuff and I need to limit the size, you know, of my bag. I will throw it in there and it's just fine. And I use it in bed for reading. I'm trying to do that a little bit more. Max, AirPods? We got the M4.
AirPods?
AirPods. AirPods Max 2, not worth talking about.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. I hate to say it.
Disappointment level probably the highest for that one.
Yeah. AirPods 4, excellent.
Yep.
You should buy them. You will
very
not be disappointed.
One of the best releases of the year.
Yeah, if you're in a quiet environment all the time, congratulations on all of your success. You can get the regular ones for significantly cheaper, and save some money. So, but everyone else who's like, oh, I'm probably going to use this in a lot of situations. I'm using them right now. My heat here is terrible, and it has to run constantly when it's 14 degrees out like it is right now. So it's really loud. I can't hear it at all. So the ANC is quite good, and I think you'll be happy. And for those of you who are like, it's not as good as the AirPods Pro, you're right. And so you should still get those. And they came out with hearing features, and I really like it. I use it at a few concerts. I don't know that I could go back now to not having something in my ears during these concerts. Whether or not I go to like traditional earplugs is one thing, but like they work really well at concerts for the adaptive transparency mode there. What do you think?
I agree. As I say, I think they're one of the best products of the year. I think they do pretty much everything that we could reasonably expect from what are ultimately an entry-level device. And bringing active noise cancellation to that open-ear design is really good. I think my only criticism is the loss of support for MagSafe chargers.
Yeah, it is a little weird. But
other than that, I really can't complain. I think they are, at their price point, I think they're an outstanding device. And especially as the price will come down over the next couple of years, I put that up there with probably the iPad Pros this year.
I think the loss of Mac, I think the loss of MagSafe, though, affects like three people in the world weirdly charge their, like if they have like the vertical dock and they magnetically
lock
it.
That's how
I was just about to say, the three people in the world, you probably being one of them since you brought it up. but everyone else is probably putting it, maybe it's a MagSafe charger, but it's probably flat on the ground. So obviously it'll still charge. It just won't be via MagSafe capability. It'll just be Qi wireless, which is fine. Who cares? Except for you and the three people.
Thank you.
You know, we do care about you. I'm not trying to dismiss it per se. I'm just saying it's not a huge thing. I agree. I think the AirPods 4, and I'm not going out on any limb here, but I think it's the AirPods that everyone should buy if you're looking to get into them and you don't want to spend AirPods Pro money. But also AirPods Pro, too, go for like nothing these days compared to what they were retailed for originally. You can find them so cheap. Just kind of depends on what fit and style works best for you. And then
the Mac.
MacBooks and iMacs and Mac Mini. I don't know. I think the 10 out of 10 excitement level for the Mac Mini.
I was pretty excited. That's not correct. I was not excited for these ahead of time. I think that it was like a 3 out of 10 excitement. But I think execution for all of these devices, even the iMac, is like a 9 out of 10. I think they are all excellent. I think that even we all talk about the Mac Mini because of this redesign, which is really good. But the updates to the MacBook Pro and the iMac, getting that 12 megapixel camera with center stage and desk view, nano texture display options, improved external display support, and even with the entry-level M4 version, getting that extra port, getting the space black color option, I think that they are probably the best updates that these designs have had since they debuted.
Dude, I have to tell you, I thought in the M3 we already had this camera, to be quite honest with you. I don't take a lot of video calls, but when I do, I thought for sure we already had this, and obviously we didn't. Holy cow, is the camera so much better in quality between last year's version and this one with center stage and everything. Like, it's significantly more noticeable. The iMac here looks way better. I mean, I'm not using the iMac right now, but the actual front-facing camera looks really good. Way better than the studio display in that regards, too. Like, which also got a nice camera at the time. We were like, oh, wow, this is a good camera. Like, I didn't realize that it was that dramatic of a difference, but that really does help. So yeah, you're right. I think the Mac Mini is just exciting as a, like, the future kind of thing. Like, something that small can be that powerful. Yeah. And good.
I mean, that also is fantastic. I think it is an excellent device. Yeah. I just think that the other updates are a little bit underrated, but all in all,
I agree.
As three Mac updates go, I think they're outstanding.
And
I think you'd be very happy buying any of them.
And this is where I'm going to say what I wanted to say earlier. Apple just sent me, so thank you, Apple. This is not a sponsor, and they don't sponsor anything. You guys know this by now. They're definitely not sponsoring anything we're doing. They sent me a M4 MacBook base model to check out. And because I was just interested. Like, we personally bought our own M4 Max version. And I got to say, the M4 base model MacBook Pro is so good that I think that is the, like, if you're on the fence between a 15-inch iMac or a 15-inch MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro, and you're like, I don't know which one to get, just get the MacBook Pro. As Hartley said before, the display is significantly better with, you know, having ProMotion and having just the mini LED there. It's a lot better. And I think the port situation is great. Now that you have three Thunderbolt ports now, you're not ticking down to that two like it used to be. And then you get the SD card slot and the HDMI and 16 gigs of RAM across the board, though now you do get that on the MacBook Air. But just having the 16 gigs of RAM, I was using also nano texture. That's the other thing. So this has nano texture on it. I don't love it on the iMac. I absolutely love it on the MacBook Pro. I think it's so good. It works so well. I just used it on a flight yesterday, and I had no issues at all. It was in a super bright environment pretty much the entire time while I was traveling, and no reflections, was outside using it. It was totally fine. So highly recommend spending that $200 on there if you find yourself in those situations where your MacBook screen is just doing so much in terms of reflections that it's impossible to focus on. But I think the 14-inch MacBook Air is excellent. MacBook Air. 14-inch MacBook Pro is an excellent M4 model. Super easy to handle everything that you might need to handle unless you're, you know, doing some crazy work there. But so far, my initial impressions are very good. I do need to use it a little bit more. I did just get it last week. But yeah, I don't know how you feel. I know you don't have one, but if you want to...
No, I agree. I agree with your analysis there.
I just need to hear you say you agree with me.
I do agree with you, Dan.
Okay, good.
The last thing I think that is worth mentioning is the fact that we finally have USB-C across the various Magic accessories.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's a given. Let us know in the comments down below what you think about this year with Apple. As a whole, Hartley, what is your rating? Excitement level of all of these products, the whole year in general?
I was very excited for this year. I would say maybe I was at a... 8 or 9 out of 10 for excitement.
Okay.
Execution's not been that good overall. There's definitely some highlights in there, but I don't think it quite met my expectations. So maybe we're coming in overall at a 7.
I'll say 8 for overall execution because I just like to be a little more positive than you. No, just saying. I think you're right. 7 or 8 is fine. And but I was a 10 out of 10 excited, and that was mostly just because of Vision, or yeah, because of Vision Pro. All the other products, sure, I was excited to try them, but there was nothing quite like that Vision Pro excitement level. But yeah, the execution kind of brings down the curve there a little bit more. But, you know, it'll get better. Yeah, let us know what you guys think. Give us your own ratings in the comments. I would love to see them. And we'll catch everybody in the final episode of the Mac Rumors Show ever in 2024.
Yeah.
Next week. See ya.